is about to developing a simple model about security controls. And so here is the exercise. We assume that the organization has developed an adequate set of controls to deal with security risks. As you know, controls, they are measures that they have so that they can prevent different things happen, different threats, and so on. However, this organization, we assume, once they have installed these controls, do not monitor and maintain them, so they become gradually less good, they become obsolete. And that means they are less and less and less effective. So what I want you to do, and first we will do that together, is to develop a simple model in terms of stock and flows that describe this, and also have some ideas as to what is the amount of time we will need to simulate, simulation time interval. So spend, just read these lines once more carefully, so then we will proceed to argue on how to do that. Okay, so if you read this carefully, the key issues is representing the controls and representing that these controls become obsolete. And there you must start thinking already, what is then the quantity that we will represent as a stock? How do we measure that? And the quantity that becomes obsolete, in how we represent that. We call this to conceptualize the problem. Do you have some proposal as to how to do that? Okay, so let's argue like this. So the exercise, and that's the way I would proceed to solve the issue. The exercise is telling you that controls are measures to reduce risk. But risk here is not mentioned as kind of a variable. That's kind of something that is everywhere, but it doesn't change. Also, it is you have to learn what to include in the model and what not to include in the model. And the risk is not necessary. It is kind of an external aspect. But it does tell you that we have controls, and that the organization does not maintain or improve the controls. So the crucial message is something is going becoming less and less good over time. So the idea is then to use controls and the obsolescence of controls to model the system. And then you need to think as to how you measure that. So you could think of two ways of doing that. One could be counting the number of controls. That would be a good way of doing that if every control has the same weight for the company. Another one would be to measure the controls in their ability to do what they are supposed to do. So you could say they are at level 100% if you are completely protected against all risk, and 0% if you no have you have no protection whatsoever. So by defining such scale, or it could be a scale from 0 to 1 instead of percentage, you could say 0 to 1. 1 means perfect protection against the risk. 0, the controls do not give you any more any protection. So is control a level or is it a flow? Is it something that you can count? If you freeze the time, can you say, okay, my control quality is now 80% or whatever? Or are you at loss to see that if you freeze the time? the level, yes, indeed it is. Whereas the obsolescence is the process that decreases the quality of the level. Okay, then let's measure, let's do that. You take event sim, start the model, new model. Okay, let's, while we are here, let's think that we are going to simulate this later. So, what kind of time interval do you think is reasonable if you have a company that has invested in controls and they have in there, they have bought them or they have installed them, and so over time they become less and less and less effective? Are we speaking of days? Are we speaking of months? Are we speaking of years? What would you propose?
About decay.
About what?
Decay.
Yes, the decay, yes. So, would you think you have a new company, you have, now everything is perfect. Would you expect the controls to be, if you don't monitor them and maintain them, to be, have disappeared within 1 month, or within 1 year, or 5 years, or whatever? A month. Well, you will start noticing things after some months, but probably it will take many months or even some years before they are completely useless, because that quickly the threats doesn't occur. So it can be argued in different ways. So we could put 12 months and give 12. Myself in the solution, I have argued some years. But if you disagree, you can do this exercise with months. So I assume it's going to take some years. We could put 10 years for the whole time horizon. It doesn't mean that they will work for 10 years. We can always change to less. So let's put here 10 years. If you prefer, you put 12 months, whatever you like. But I put here 10. And I have selected the year for that. So click on that, and for the moment this is in the background. So we agree that controls are a level, and for that you go here to this variable that Vensim calls a box variable. That's what represents a level. So you see where I am pointing? There. So if you click on that, then you see that your mouse pointer has got a box attached to it that is telling you this is allowing me to create a box. What you have to do is to click somewhere and give it some name like controls and enter, and there you have the box. It comes by itself. Then it's important that all of you check that this is correct, that you get a box and you are putting controls. If not, if you have created the wrong variable, then you can delete it with the symbol and start afresh. If I took this one and click on that, it disappears. I undo the action. Okay, and if you wrote some wrong name, you can click on variable still and here inside, and then you can write it correctly every time you click enter, that is there. Now as to the flow, what we are seeing is that the quality of the control decreases over time, and we represent that if controls is the level of water in a bathtub, then the control obsolescence, the process that decreases the controls, is its outflow of water. And how do we create that? Well, you see the symbol here, rate. I am pointing to that. Up and down, rate. Rate is the other name for a flow. Click on that. Then what you have to do is, first of all, you see that the pointer has the symbol of the flow attached to it. Now you have to point inside the controls. Click on that inside. Then move outside to somewhere and click somewhere, it doesn't matter where, and write there control obsolescence. Enter. And there you see the outflow. And automatically, because we haven't put some other level from where these controls that become obsolete go to, we get the cloud. We don't care where they go to when they no longer are active. So there you see how you can create a level and a rate attached to that. If you had something increasing the number of the controls, I'm going to do that and then delete it, then you will click outside, you will click then inside, you put some name in that, enter, and then you have an inflow. But you don't need it, so I delete it again. So that's a simple model that tells you we have security controls in the company. At some time, they have some value. And then over time, because of the obsolescence, they are losing quality. Later, we will simulate this. Now, in order to complete the model, we should also say something about the speed of the process. We are not saying how fast this process goes. How do you describe the speed of an outflow? Think of the bathtub. Think that you have water flowing out. Mm-hmm. So how would you measure the speed of the outflow? How quickly it goes out, how quickly the controls become obsolete? Well, I don't expect an answer from you because you don't have yet experience, but the simplest way of doing that is by defining some average time for the decrease. So a typical time by which the controls, the flow goes by. Or another possibility is by measuring the flow out, if it was water, by how much water it goes per unit of time, which is basically the invert. You can measure something by the time it takes to empty or by the speed it empties. The speed is the water per second or per unit of time, and the typical time is the inverse of that. So if we put here, if we choose some time, which we call the typical obsolescence time, some average time for them to become obsolete, then I get a variable which is an auxiliary. It is not a level, it is not a rate, but it influences this process here. So that's why I put here the arrow. If the obsolescence time is very, very, very long, then that means the controls keep the quality for a long time. If the obsolescence time is very short, which is basically what you suggested, months, then the controls will lose the quality very quickly. But on the other hand, that's not all, because the more controls you have, the faster the control obsolescence is, and the other way around. So you have also an arrow like this. So the speed of losing controls, the obsolescence, depends both on the number of controls and on the obsolescence time. So if you have a company that has installed 10,000 controls and they are becoming obsolete, then the speed will be much higher than if you have only 10 controls that are decaying over time, other things being equal. Okay? Do you have the same model like this? If not, you will have to delete some things and so on. Okay, then I suggest you save this before we continue. save us with some name. You will later see that the solutions are in, I put some solutions in the frontal room. So give it some name, whatever you like. And now we make this a model that we can simulate. How do you do that? Well, by implementing the equations. Here, where I'm pointing here, you see f of x. This is the icon you have to click upon so as to enter equations. So if you click on that, then you see that the three variables of our system, they all get a black background. And that's the way that Vensim uses to tell you they are not yet defined. And now we start. Whenever you are entering equations to a simulation model, you should first start with constants in the system. How do you know that they are constants? Well, a constant has only outgoing arrows. So obsolescence time has no ingoing arrows. That means nothing is influencing it. It doesn't change over time. So that's where we begin. So, and in this case we have only one constant in the system, the obsolescence time. So we click on that. When you click on it, you get a window like this. And in this window, there are many things that you can put in, and it can be a bit confusing, but you don't need to pay attention to everything. First, you notice a blinking mark here with equations. That means that's expecting you to put in something here. And that's where we begin. So the obsolescence time is the average time for the controls to become obsolete. And let's say 2 years. So we put in two. You put two here. And I recommend always that you put in the units, and the units are here. So in this case, because we have selected year as the simulation unit, you have it already predefined. So if you open the drop bar here, then you see two units here, year, and the other one, which is a strange one, it is DMNL, that means dimensionless. Dimensionless are for units that don't have actually units, like for instance percentages or so. So now you click on year, we have selected that, and we have obsolescence time to year. The other thing that you should do, the value, the units, and the third one is the comment, because that's the documentation. And the comment you should, for yourself and whoever is reading the model later, put something like the obsolescence time is the average time for the controls to lose their efficiency. Something like this. So that allows you to, first of all, by writing, that helps your memory, and when you read it later, you recall what you thought when you put that. Then you click on OK, and the variable should lose the black background, which means it is now defined. The next step is the following. The levels have always some initial value when the simulation starts. So when you finish with the given the constants and values, you should click on the levels and define the initial value. If you look now at this window, it's a bit different from the previous one. Instead of the equation, you see here the blinking marker on the initial value. It is expecting you to tell Vensing which is the value of this variable when the simulation starts. And the simulation starts by default at time zero. That's what we accepted when we started to see the settings. So what is the value of the controls? Remembering that we say one means completely protected, let's be nice and assume the company is completely protected, so we put in one there to begin with. Then you have to decide on the units. If it is a relative number, like related to percent, 100% effective, then the unit is dimensionless. So you can click here on that drop down and select DMNL. The other thing you notice here is that this is new, and we haven't written that. That appeared by itself. So what is this? Well, you see the information is that controls is decreasing over time. You have a minus sign because of the control obsolescence. So by drawing this diagram, you have actually produced some equation. You are told Vensing decrease the controls by control obsolescence. I will explain later that's not a normal subtraction, because what is happening when you are simulating is that we are taking time steps, and that's telling you what is happening for each time step. And that's what is indicated mathematically by the symbol integ there. Integ comes from integration. So in reality, what we are doing is we are solving a differential equation by integrating it. So I will come back to that. Simulation model is a differential equation or a system of differential equations that is being solved the way you solve differential equations, by integrating that. And Vensing will do that for you. Then, in the command, you should document what it is, whatever it is. The controls are the measures that reduce or mitigate the risks. Something like this. You can put it in your own words. Then you click OK, and then this becomes again white. This is defined. And then finally, the control obsolescence. If you click on that, then the window looks the same way it looked for obsolescence time, but you are expected to enter an equation, and the equation must use these variables, because these variables, look at them here on the variables, they are the two variables that have an arrow pointing to control obsolescence. So because you have drawn these arrows, Vensing expects you to use them. If you don't use these two variables, Vensing will not accept your definition. So what is the equation? Well, we reason like this. The more controls, the larger the control obsolescence will be, everything being equal. So the control obsolescence must be proportional to the controls. And then the bigger the obsolescence time, the slower the process is. So the equation must be inversely proportional to this. So how do you rewrite this equation? You don't need to write the words, because Vensing allows you to click and then you get it inside here. So you click on controls, there it appears. And now you have to to divide so that you get inversely proportional. You can enter the slash from the keyboard, but you can also enter from here. You see where I am pointing with the mouse, the slash. If you click on that, then it appears there. And then you need the obsolescence time, click on that, and that's the equation. So the equation is, for control obsolescence, controls divided by obsolescence time. And then you should document this, click on comment and put some text so that you understand that, and click OK. Questions? This is explained in the solutions that I will publish in Frontal later. So now the model is ready for simulation, but there is one thing left. And the thing left is the following. If you go and click on Models, Model Settings, there is something here that we have accepted without changing, and that is the time step. At this level of the course, at this stage, I will tell you that the time step is used for the computations. We start with initial time 0, we end with initial time 10, and the time step, if we leave it at 1, VenSim will do computation at time 0, see the result for time 1, do new computations at time 1, step 1, calculate them at the time step 1 so that you are at 2 and so on until you come to 10. It does it stepwise. So it solves the differential equation by subdividing the interval from the initial time to the final time in terms of the time step. Now obviously if you have a time step of 1, you do only 10 calculations. If you wanted more accuracy, you will have to choose a slower time step, like 1/2, or even lower. So which is the time step that you choose? The reasoning is the time step determines the accuracy. So you have to decide, what is my accuracy? What kind of accuracy I want to achieve? If you are a professional developer of simulation models, then you will have a client. And you will have a contract with a client. And the client will tell you, I want an accuracy of 1% or 0.5% or whatever. And then you have to document that you are achieving that accuracy. And for that, you will have to choose the right time step. How this is done technically is another thing. So if you were a professional, you will have a contract. And the contract will stipulate the accuracy. And you have to document that your model satisfies that accuracy. Since you are a student, we don't care about being so strict, but there's one thing we require, and that is that your simulation is visually accurate. What does it mean, visually accurate? That means that if you make the time step smaller, you don't see a difference in the curves. So you have to find the time step when nothing changes to the eye on simulation. We can leave the time step 0 or 1 for the time being and then simulate and see what happens. First we save and now we simulate. You click on that here. Simulate. And it has simulated. The name of the simulation is in this simulation file name, which is current. Unless you change the name, it's called current. And if you look now at the folder, and I had that in a temporary folder because I have it already, then you have the model here, and you have here the simulation current VDF, that the simulation file. And that tells you it is actually a time series. It has computed all the variables for all the time periods. You cannot open that otherwise than with VenSim, but I am just telling you that. Okay, you want to see the results? Well, for the time being, what you do is select some variable, like with the sun, we select controls, and then go to the symbol graph here, click on graph, and there you see what happens. And then it's telling you, starting at time zero, initial simulation, this is decreasing over time, and after 6-7 years, you have no protection whatsoever. The average period of decay is 2 years. That means, what it means exactly, I will explain later, because this is a so-called exponential average. But this is a typical time for how fast this goes. And if you wanted to see some other variable, for instance, the control obsolescence, you click on that, you click on the graph, and there you see how it decreases. Originally with a speed 0.5 per year, and then it becomes slower and slower, but it continues decaying. If you want to see the whole output, you go to Windows, pop output forward, and you get whatever windows you have up and down there. The next thing I want you to observe is that this is not very accurate, because you can see clearly that this is not a smooth curve. You are seeing straight line segments from 0 to 1, from 1 to 2, and so on. And that's because we are computing results with a time step of 1 year. So you don't get a smooth curve. And that's now where you should decrease the time step, see what happens, decrease the time step, see what happens, until nothing more changes, then you got the right time step. So let's do that now. I am killing these windows, and I took the settings time step, open the bar here, put 1/2, okay, simulate. It tells you the simulation curve, current is this already, want to override it? Yes. Then you take controls, graph, and now it looks smoother, as you can see. Still, if you look attentively, especially if you make the window bigger and bigger and bigger, you can see still that you are having straight lines there. So you should still decrease, model settings, take time step, 1/4, simulate, yes, window, and now it looks quite good for the eye. So a time step of 1/4 is probably visually accurate. Okay? Any questions? If you want to ask the numbers, you can get them. You see a series of windows here. I got a graph here, but here you have tables. And you have two tables, one that goes horizontally, one that goes vertically. Table time down, click on that, and there you have it. Time zero, value 1. After a quarter of a year, 0.875, and so on. You see how this is decreasing. Of course, the smaller the time step, the more values you get, and the whole thing gets cluttered. But there's a way of defining a table that only gives you results at some fixed time distances, which you can control. So you don't need to print out the table with the time step that we use for simulation. You can choose how much information you can get. Okay? So that was an introduction to using VenSim. And after this, which you should repeat and do the other exercises, you should be able to put in the levels, to put in controls that go out or into, to introduce other variables that are not levels or rates, to enter the equations, at least in principle, for simple models, simulate them, and to determine the right time step. Again, exactly in the same way why you don't get in physical shape by just watching football players or people skiing or jumping or so, you need to do it yourself. You need also to do these exercises. Okay, so now let's go to the lecture. And we are now here at the beginning of the chapter on modeling common feedback structures. So the reason why we are so interested in questions of feedback is because the set of the feedback loops, what we call a causal structure, is what determines how the system behaves over time. And here you see three levels, three stages, how you can look at the system. You can consider events. Events are things that happen. Like, for instance, there was an attack, or I measured the controls and the value, quality of the levels of the controls was 0.6, and that's too low, whatever. So events are things that you can determine over time, and typically you observe the system and recall events. They allow you to identify issues and perhaps to brainstorm the problem. Then you can make connections between these events. Then you're looking at the behavior of some variables over time. Then you have historical results and patterns of behavior over time. And then finally, and that's where you have the deep understanding, you create a model which has some structure. The model consists of levels and rates and so on, and when it's finished you are able to simulate, and in this way you are able to understand what your models tell you, as opposed to just having in your head or on paper and not being able to say what the model, the behavior of the model is. Now, the reason why we are so interested in feedback is because of the connection of feedback to behavior. If you have basically four kinds of behavior. You have behavior where you have some increase, accelerating increase over time. It could be decrease over time, which is the so to speak the middle version of that. Or you have behavior where you converge towards some desired value, and that can happen from below or from above. You can have oscillations, which can be as neat and clean as sinus or cosinus, but it could be more complex. And you can have some behavior where something tends to increase over time, and then the increase diminishes, and then it goes over to some balancing, to some asymptotic behavior. It looks like an S, and therefore it's called S-shaped behavior. Now, the crucial insight in system dynamics is whenever you have feedback, then what happens over time is always a combination of these patterns. And the more feedback loops you have, the more these different patterns compete or add up or subtract from each other, but in principle they are present there. And then we need to understand these four patterns, and we start with the simplest pattern, with the first pattern of diverging behavior. Whenever you see a behavior like this, where it goes slowly then accelerates, increasing, or decreases, accelerating, then you are having reinforcing feedback. And here you see two possible structures that create that. So for instance, consider a population. If you forget about deaths, then the population is increasing by births. And you have the more births, the more population, the more population, the more births, everything equal. And this is a reinforcing feedback that you represent like this with stock and flows, and you get this kind of behavior. We will see that soon. You could have an accelerating decay if you have reinforcing behavior going in the opposite way. So for instance, you have some debt with the bank, and suppose you are half accumulating interest, you are not paying back your debt. So you have a debt of 1 million, and the interest rate, say, is 3%, then at the end of the year, your debt will have increased to 1,030,000. At the end of the second year, this 1,030,000 will have increased by more than 30,000 again. So you are your debt is more than 1,060,000, and so on and so on. And as your debt increases, then your interest increases. The more your debt increases, the more your interest, and then it starts exploding, and you get very, very poor if you don't pay back. Okay, so let's now consider another example with exponential growth. Suppose you have some product like mobile phones, and the more mobile phones you sell, the more sales will it generate, because the youngsters that are buying your mobile phones, they will show all the kind of cute things they can do with that, especially if they are smartphones. The more people will buy them, the more people you buy, the more mobile phones and so on. And by this process we call word of mouth, then you get reinforcing feedback. The way we model this, and soon we will create such a model ourselves, is the customers you can count if you freeze the time, so that's a level. The new customers, that's the process that you get through sales that increases the customers. The way this happens is through the word of mouth, kind of contacts within the people who have the smartphones and new people. But not everybody that sees a smartphone says, oh yeah, I'm going to buy that. There's some buy probability. So this very simple model we will create later, not like this, because I will concentrate on security. So, but a similar model we will create. And I think the next slide is the model that we will create after the break. We will create a model of a computer virus epidemic, where the computer virus is propagated because the infected PCs are interacting with non-infected PCs by exchanging documents or whatever. And then we get an inflow of virus. By every computer that gets infected, we get more infected PCs. And this is a reinforcing loop. But again, contacts alone is not sufficient, it's not enough, because assume that you get a mail with somebody telling you click on that attachment or whatever. You can do that with some probability, and then you get infected if you are not protected against that virus. But maybe you are cautious and decide not to do that. So we consider a certain probability of getting infected. And there are two parameters that dictate how fast the process is. One is how often you get or you interact with other computers, which is what we call the contact rate. And how big is the probability that you, when you get an infected document, that you use that document. So using this, we should be able to create a very simple model of that. And that model, I am going to show you in next. In fact, I have it already. And it is this one. And I will simulate it. And I will get a curve like this, which is indeed reinforcing feedback. But this we will do after the break, so we take now 15 minutes break.